السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آج کل ہم جس اسلامی مہینے سے گزر رہے ہیں اس مہینے کا نام
Hazur says that the Islamic month that we are currently passing through is called Muharram al-Haram. This is the first month of the Islamic calendar. Normally, when the first month of the year arrives and thus the new year commences, we extend congratulations to one another. In some places, Muharram began last Friday or Thursday in other places. So as such, as I was coming for the Friday prayers, there was somebody standing outside who extended congratulations to me. However, congratulations for what? For on that very day, in Iraq there were some bomb blasts where Shias were attacked and scores were martyred. Thus, we normally congratulate one another when the new year begins. However, when this month of the lunar year begins, the majority of the decent and virtuous Muslims who have heartfelt pain for the Muslim community at large begin expressing fear and concern at the start of this month. Why does this occur? As I explained, there are bomb blasts, there is murder and bloodshed. Everyone knows that this occurs because despite the fact that governments make announcements and despite the fact that the clerics of Muslim sects give joint statements. Disorder either breaks out between the Sunnis and the Shias, or at some Taziyah or some Imam Bara, that is the places where mourning takes place. Other sects or malicious elements carry out attacks. Now, those with vested interests and terrorists become toys in the hands of others and attack the gatherings and conventions of the Shias, taking the lives of scores of innocent persons. There are amongst them those who do not have any religious objectives or any religious conflict. Rather, they have political motives and intend to bring the government into disrepute. On Normally, the 10th of the Muharram is a more dangerous time. In the Western countries, 10th of Muharram is tomorrow, although here there is no such threat. However, the 10th of Muharram is today in the Eastern countries, perhaps in Pakistan and elsewhere. During these days, the cruelties and injustices are sometimes raised to extreme proportions. In fact, this time, these attacks have already occurred at certain gatherings of the Shias. As I mentioned earlier, there was an attack carried out on the 1st of Muharram upon the Shias. In Pakistan, in Rawalpindi, Karachi, Quetta, and Swat, similar attacks were carried out. This was reported in the newspapers yesterday. There were bomb blasts and many lives were wasted. In fact, in Rawalpindi, there were attacks both day before yesterday and yesterday. 23 people suffered death as a result of these attacks upon the Shias. When the Shias gain the opportunity, they take revenge in the same vein. It is a very strange state of the Muslim community at large, a state deserving of mercy. It is these very religious differences, or differences of any type, that are widening the gulf between the Muslims and between the Muslim governments. There are some Muslim countries where the government is run by the minority sect. There, the majority sect display an extreme reaction, which ultimately results in the use of ammunition. When the minority sect gains the opportunity, it attacks the majority sect. In the name of a war on terror against the terrorists, or on the pretext of crushing the rebellious people, the government is also wasting the lives of innocent persons. Without thought or reasons, bombardments take place, as does shooting against people. Homes are being completely destroyed. Thousands of men and women of their own countries are being led to the pit of death. This is exactly what is occurring nowadays in Syria. And it is for this reason that the anti-Islamic forces have gained a free hand to do as they please. Israel's attack upon Palestinians is due to the internal conflicts among Muslims and because of the disunity of the Muslims. There is not a single Muslim country where we do not find all human values being completely trampled upon on the basis of religious or political differences. Or there is not a single Muslim country where we do not find horrific stories of cruelties being perpetrated. Thus, in one form or the other, we do see cruelties being perpetrated by Muslims upon other Muslims. It is for this reason that the external and foreign powers are tightening their grip upon the Muslim countries. If only the Muslims gained wisdom and united as one. If only the Muslims took lesson from their ancestors. What does history tell us about this? When a major anti-Islamic power, the Roman Empire, due to the conflict between Hazrat Muawiyah and Hazrat Ali, considering the Muslim strength to be weakened, intended to attack the Muslims in order to restore its reputation. When this came into the knowledge of Hazrat Muawiyah, he sent a message to the Roman Emperor. Do not think of attacking us by exploiting our internal differences. If you attack us, then I, on behalf of Hazrat Ali, will be the first general who will fight against you. Thus, this was the response of those companions whom we attribute ourselves to. And today, these people join hands with the opponents and scheme against the Muslim governments, yet they are called Muslims. Amongst the Muslims, indeed, there is one point upon which there is consensus and agreement between the ulama, that is the Muslim clerics, or so-called Muslim clerics, and also the segment that spreads maliciousness. And that is to plan against the Jamaat, the community established by the promised Messiah. Or that they unanimously agree to remove from the fold of Islam by force those Ahmadis who believe and have firm faith with their heart and soul in La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. There is none worthy of worship except Allah and Muhammad is His Messenger. These people have no fear whatsoever that the Muslim creed that they profess or claim to believe in of that Prophet for whom they claim to be prepared to give up their life and honor for, that they should at least ponder upon his commandment. They do not care about it at all. When the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated this point, which was a general and fundamental principle. It was not for just one companion. When he said that, did you peel open this person's heart to see whether he said the Muslim creed with his heart or out of fear? Alas, if they only came to understand this. Those who deem themselves as the ulama, the Muslim clerics, should remove themselves from their professions of possessing knowledge. Instead of misguiding the public, they should endeavor to explain to them regarding justice and the truth. They should attach themselves with that champion of Allah and eliminate all sectarianism and thus eradicate all cruelty and tyranny. By ending the concept of religious war, they should convey the beautiful teachings of Islam in the manner taught by the Imam of the time. By doing so, they can extinguish the power of the enemy and become those who bring them under the banner of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. I started with reference to Muharram. At this time, I shall present some extracts of that promised Messiah of the time and Imam Mahdi, so that this can come before hundreds of thousands of Ahmadis, including those who have entered newly into the Jamaat. This is also so that this can be presented before the youngsters who do not possess knowledge of this, and that they come to know how the promised Messiah alayhi salam established respect of the elders and saints and recognized the status of the companions, how he eliminated the differences between Shia and Sunni, and how in accordance with the command of Allah the Almighty, he taught the way to bringing together all the Muslims living in different parts of the world upon one hand as one united Muslim community. I shall also present this extracts for the non-Ahmadi Muslims who sometimes listen to the Friday sermon so that they also come to know the true teachings in order to become the real depiction of Rohama or Bainahum, being sympathetic and compassionate to one another. Reflect a little. For how long will you lament over the weak state of the Muslims and just carry out superficial conventions and processions? And will you consider yourselves those who discharge the right of duty and service to Islam? For how long will you go on providing opportunities to the opponents to carry out their worthless and cruel actions against Muslims? Thus, whether the disorder and restlessness in Muslim countries is a result of the cruelties carried out within the Muslim countries upon one another, or whether it is a result of the anti-Islamic forces perpetrating injustices upon the Muslims. There is only one remedy and solution to establish peace, and only one strength to restore the Muslim glory, which is with that chosen one who was sent by God the Almighty, who was the ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who was appointed with the mission of spreading the teachings of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, all over the world. As I stated, I shall present some extracts now of the Promised Messiah on whom be peace, which sheds light upon the status of all the companions. If the Muslims want to establish their identity, if they want to establish their reputation and honor, if they want to save themselves from the attacks of the opponents and want to convey the message of Islam to the world and bring them under the banner of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they have to eradicate the differences between Sunni and Shia and the differences between all the sects of Muslims. They would have to act upon those teachings of Islam which the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought, in which there were no sects, and in which every companion was an example of sacrifice, was a model of piety and righteousness, was such a star through which illumination and guidance is received. However, the status of some companions in the sight of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was more elevated in comparison to others. The high status that Allah the Almighty and the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, gave to Hadrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, cannot be attained by anyone else. Similarly, the status of Hadrat Umar, the status of Hadrat Usman, the status of Hadrat Ali, Hadrat Imam Hussein, and Hadrat Imam Hassan follow degree by degree in this way. Thus, paying due regard to the status of each, we need to look at the rank of the companions. If this occurs, all types of disorder will be eradicated. In order to remove all these differences amongst the latter days people, the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi's advent occurred. He explained to us the rank and status of every companion and relative of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and established their respect and status. In one part of Sirr al-Khilafah, the Promised Messiah on whom be peace states, this is in Arabic, and the translation of this is, I have been given the knowledge that Hadrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, had the greatest glory and highest status amongst all the companions. Without doubt, he was the first Khalifa, and verses regarding Khilafat were revealed about him. In another excerpt of Sirr al-Khilafah, the translation of which is as follows. By God, he was Islam's second Adam and the first manifestation of the best among mankind. Although he was not a Nabi, a prophet, he had the strength and faculties of the prophets and messengers. Again, in Sirr al-Khilafah, the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, writes, Allah the Exalted knew that Hadrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, was the most courageous, righteous, and the most beloved of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He was a victorious general who was completely absorbed in the love of the chief among creation. From the very outset, he was the confidant of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and helper to the Prophet's tasks. This is why God assured his Prophet in time of adversity through him and made the title of Siddiq, the truthful, specific to Hadrat Abu Bakr. He was a close friend of the Prophet, and Allah the Almighty granted him with the robe of honor of Sani Athnain, that he was one of two, and included him in his special servants. In one part of Malfuzat, the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, by becoming a Muslim at the time of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, Khalifa Awwal, the first Khalifa, who was a great merchant, gave incomparable help to the Muslims. He was granted the status of being called Siddiq, the truthful. He became the first friend and the first Khalifa or successor of the Prophet. It is written that he was returning from a trade expedition and had not yet reached Mecca, when along the way he met a man and inquired for some latest news. He replied that there was no latest news except for the fact that your friend has claimed prophethood. Abu Bakr, standing there on the spot, said, if he has made this claim, it is truthful. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says further, Hadrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, gave all his possessions and wealth in the way of Allah the Almighty and accepted destitution himself. But what did Allah the Almighty bestow upon him for this? He was made the king of the entire Arabia, and Islam was given a new lease of life through his hand, and the apostate Arabs were once again prevailed over. He was given all that was beyond what anyone could even envisage. Regarding Hadrat Umar, the promised Messiah on whom be peace states, are you aware of how great the status of Hadrat Umar was amongst the companions? It was such that at times, according to his thoughts and views, the Quran would be revealed to him. There is a hadith regarding him that Satan runs from the shadow of Hadrat Umar. There is a second hadith that if after me there would be a prophet, it would be Umar. Thirdly, there is a hadith that amongst the previous communities there came muhaddith. If there is any muhaddith in this ummah, it is Umar. Regarding Hadrat Umar, the promised Messiah on whom be peace states, Hadrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, would receive divine revelation. However, he did not consider himself to be of any worth. That is, he did not think that because I have received divine revelation, it means I have some value. He did not want to be a partner in the Imamate Haqqa, true leadership that God in heaven created on this earth. That is, regarding the Holy Prophet Muhammad's status. It was not that because he received divine revelation, he considered himself to be equal. He declared himself to be a lowly servant. And this is why God's grace made him into a successor or assistant of the Imamate Haqqa. That is, he was bestowed with Khilafat. The promised Messiah on whom be peace then writes in Hujjatullah, this was in Arabic and the translation is, two persons buried next to the Holy Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, who were pious, pure, accepted and wholesome. God deemed them friends of the Holy Prophet ﷺ in life as well as after the death. That is, even after death, they were buried near to the Holy Prophet. Indeed, it was this friendship that endured till the end, and it is rare to find an example of it. Therefore, congratulations and blessings to them that they spent their lives with the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and were appointed Khalifa in his city and in his place, and were buried next to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that they were brought close to the paradise of where he was buried, and on the day of judgment they will be raised with the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is another excerpt of Sirul Khilafa, the promised Messiah on whom be peace states in it. Its translation is, my Lord has made it evident to me that Hadrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hadrat Umar Farooq, may Allah be pleased with him, Hadrat Usman, may Allah be pleased with him, were pious and filled with faith. They were amongst those people who were chosen by Allah the Almighty and were exclusively selected to receive the blessings and bounties of Allah the Almighty. I swear by God, Allah the Almighty made Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Dhurnulnayn the infantry of the army of Allah the Almighty. Regarding Hadrat Ali, the promised Messiah on whom be peace states, he was extremely righteous, pure and wholesome. He was amongst those who are the most beloved of the gracious God and from amongst a very noble family. He was amongst the leaders of the time. He was a lion of God and a very munificent youngster. He was extremely generous and pure of heart. He was that uniquely courageous person who would never move from his place in battle, even if there was an army of the enemy in front of him. He lived a life of destitution and attained the highest ranks in terms of abstinence. He would be the foremost in distributing wealth, alleviating pain and suffering, caring for the orphans, neighbors, and the needy. In different combats, he displayed incredible feats of courageousness and bravery. In other words, this was not all that he was. He had an extremely high rank. He displayed incredible feats of courage and bravery in different battles. He demonstrated wondrous feats in battles where the swords and spears were used. Alongside this, he expressed elegance and eloquence in his speech. That is, his speech was so beautiful in his manner, which was peerless amongst men. His words would embed deep into the hearts of people. His words would embed deep into the hearts of people. Through it, he would remove the rust in the minds of people and would enlighten them instead with the light of reasoning. He had knowledge over every matter. And whoever had any excellence with him before Hazrat Ali would have to apologize in inferiority. He was the embodiment of the highest forms of excellence, elegance, and eloquence. Whoever denies his excellence embarks on a path of vulgarity. He would promote sympathy for the helpless and would instruct to feed those who were content as well as those who insisted to be fed. That is to say, he took care of those who did not ask for anything, and he also took care of those who asked for something even if they persisted in their demands. He was amongst the chosen people of Allah the Exalted. In this same way, he excelled in the deep understanding of the Holy Book. He had astounding insight of the understanding of the profound points of the Holy Quran. That is to say, the spiritual milk of knowledge in the shape of the Holy Quran. He held incredible perception and insight with regards to it. Then, when the Holy Prophet ﷺ migrated from Makkah to Medina, the Promised Messiah ﷺ relates the account of the time with reference to Hazrat Ali and says, "A beloved relative who was stirred with love and faith covered his face and laid on the bed of the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, on the signal of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, so that the spies of the enemy would not investigate the leaving of the Holy Prophet ﷺ and would consider him to be the Holy Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and thus would remain there to try and kill him. The Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, then states in Persian, that no one has his neck smited or gives up his life, except one who is ardently in love and keenly desirous to do so. Then the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, describing a similarity with Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Hussein, states, "I have an exquisite semblance with Hazrat Ali and Hussein, and no one apart from the Lord of the East and the West knows this secret. Most certainly, I love Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, and both his sons, and have enmity with whosoever has enmity with them." Then regarding Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Hussein, that they both had distinctive feats and accomplishments, and also rank and status. The Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, In my view, Hazrat Hassan did something very good, that he separated himself from Khilafat. Thousands had been killed already and he did not desire for more blood to be spilled. This is why he relieved himself from Muawiyah. As this act of Hazrat Hassan adversely affects the Shias, they are not fully satisfied with Hazrat Hassan. Although the Shias speak with reference to the progeny of Hazrat Ali, they do not exaggerate regarding Hazrat Hassan as much as they do with regards to Hazrat Hussein. It is for this reason that they are not satisfied with him. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states that we praise them both. The fact of the matter is that each individual has distinctive strengths and qualities. Hazrat Imam Hassan, may Allah be pleased with him, did not desire internal fighting amongst Muslims and bloodshed. He kept keeping peace in view, foremost. Hazrat Imam Hussein, may Allah be pleased with him, did not desire to take the covenant of allegiance at the hand of a malicious and wicked man, because that is detrimental to faith. They both had good intentions. Innamal a'malu binniyat. Actions are judged by intentions. It was a different matter that there was progress in Islam through Yazid. It is the grace of God the Exalted. If he so wills, even a wicked person can bring about progress. Yazid's son was a pious person. The Promised Messiah on whom he peace then states, it should always be remembered that prophets on whom be peace and similar righteous and truthful people of God come to this world as examples. A person who does not try to follow in the footsteps of their example, but is prepared to prostrate before them and considers them the reliever of their needs. That is, a person turns to exaggeration and hyperbole to such an extent that he does not follow the example of that person, however he prostrates to him and considers that he can fulfill his needs. Regarding him, the Promised Messiah ﷺ says, he can never be deserving of respect in the sight of God Almighty. Rather, such a person will see that after death the Imam will show aversion to him. In this same way, those who exaggerate the status of Hazrat Ali or Hazrat Imam Hussein, may Allah be pleased with them, and in effect worship them, are not from amongst the followers of Imam Hussein. They cannot please Imam Hussein, may Allah be pleased with him, through this act. The prophets, on whom be peace, always come as noble examples to be followed, and the truth is that without following them, there is nothing there. Thus, the essence is that one should follow on the method and the ways of the pious people, especially the prophets. Then, the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, counseling Ahmadis. Because an Ahmadi had said something regarding Hazrat Imam Hussein which came into the knowledge of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, and due to which he became extremely upset. He admonished Ahmadis, it should be clear that I have received notice through a letter that there are some ignorant persons who attribute themselves towards my community have said regarding Hazrat Imam Hussein, may Allah be pleased with him, that God forbid Hussein, because he did not take the bed, the covenant of allegiance with the Khalifa of the time, Yazid, was rebellious and that Yazid was on the truth. May God's curse descend upon the liars. I did not expect that such ignoble words could be expressed by any righteous person of my community. However, alongside this, the thought comes into my heart that because the majority of Shias, in their oft-repeated words and curses, have included me, that is, they constantly verbally abuse me. For this reason, it is not surprising that some ignorant and rude person replied to a foolish statement with a foolish statement. Just as some ignorant Muslims respond to profane words uttered by Christians against the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, with harsh and severe words against Hazrat Jesus, peace be upon him. In any case, through this pamphlet, I notify my Jamaat, my community, that we have firm belief that Yazid was an impure worm of the earth and was unjust, and the spirit with which someone is called a believer does not apply there. To become a believer is no easy task. For Allah the Almighty says regarding such persons, قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. Believers are those who have faith written on their hearts. They give precedence to their Lord and His pleasure over all else. They adopt the fine paths of taqwa, that is righteousness, for the sake of Allah, and become completely lost in His love. And every such thing which like an idol stops one from reaching God, whether it is one's moral state, or carrying out malicious or evil acts, or indifference or negligence, they remove all such things from their self. But the unfortunate Yazid did not possess these qualities. The love of the world had blinded him. However, Hussein, may Allah be pleased with him, was pure and wholesome. Without a doubt, he was amongst those chosen ones of Allah the Almighty, who God the Exalted purifies with His own hands, and who He fills with His love. Without a doubt, he is amongst the chiefs of paradise. To have even an ounce of rancor against him deprives one of faith. The righteousness, love of God, patience and forbearance, piety and worship of this Imam is a blessed model for us to follow. We are those who follow the guidance of this innocent person. We are those who follow the guidance of that innocent person, which he was given. Destroyed is that heart who is an enemy of him. Successful is that heart which in practice expresses love for him, and who tries to assimilate his faith, his morals, his chivalry, his noble, his righteousness, patience, and love for God and all qualities, and tries to follow him perfectly, and tries to reflect all his qualities like the image of a beautiful person standing in front of a mirror. These people are hidden from the eyes of the world. Who is aware of their status except those who are amongst them? The eyes of this world cannot identify them because they are far removed from the world. This was the reason for the martyrdom of Hussein, because he was not truly recognized. Who was that pious and saintly person who was loved by the world in that time so that they should have loved Hussein also? In short, this matter is amongst the highest levels of faithlessness and misfortune. That Hazrat Hussein should be dishonored in any way, he who dishonors Hussein or any other saints, who is amongst the pious leaders, or uses any contemptuous words with regards to them, causes his faith to become wasted. Because Allah the Almighty becomes the enemy of such a person who is the enemy of His chosen ones and beloved ones. He who abuses and curses me, if in reply against any saint or beloved one of God, anyone says anything mischievously, this would be a grave injustice. On such an occasion, to ignore and to pray for the ignorant enemy is better. Because if those people knew who I was and who I had been sent from, they would never say wrong things regarding me. Then the promised Messiah in whom be peace states, the term spiritual progeny is extremely appropriate for the beloved of God. As we say in the Durood Sharif, Ali Muhammadin. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, the word spiritual progeny is for the beloved and chosen ones of God. Here he refers to Hazrat Imam Hussein and Hazrat Imam Hassan, or the Ahl-e Bayt, the family of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that it was their spiritual inheritance from their spiritual maternal grandfather which no plunderer can plunder. And they are the inheritors of those gardens which no other can unjustly seize. Thus, these evil notions has currently become prevalent in the Islamic sects because their souls have completely died. And it has no part of being a spiritual progeny. Therefore, as non-recipients of spiritual wealth, they have lost their senses and their hearts have become short-sighted. Which person of faith would argue that Hazrat Imam Hussein and Hazrat Imam Hassan, may Allah be pleased with them, were God's chosen people, that they were persons of excellences, were pure and chaste, and were leaders of guidance? And that without a doubt, in both respects, they were the progeny of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, people who have knowledge are of the creed that even if Hazrat Imam Hussein and Hazrat Hassan, may Allah be pleased with them, were not the physical progeny of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him through the relation, then even since due to their spiritual connection, they had been considered progeny in the heaven, without a doubt, they would have still been an inheritors of his spiritual wealth. The mortal body has relationships. Could the soul thus not have any relationships? Rather, it is proven from the Ahadith and the Holy Quran that the souls also too have a bond and have friendship and enmity from the very beginning. Now, a wise person can think that if it is a source of pride to be progeny of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on an eternal and everlasting level, or to be the progeny of the Prophet on a physical level which is nothing without righteousness, purity and faith. No one should infer from this that we infringe on the dignity of the family of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam is explaining that the status of spiritual progeny is far greater than the physical progeny. He says that no one should infer that from this we infringe on the dignity of the family of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the contrary, the objective of this writing is that it is not worthy of the dignity of Imam Hussein and Hassan, may Allah be pleased with them, to be the progeny of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only physically, because it is meaningless without a spiritual connection. That is to say, their splendor does not lie in the fact that they were the physical progeny. The actual essence is their spiritual connection. He then says, only those have true connection with the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who are included in his progeny on a spiritual basis. The spiritual light and the spiritual knowledge of prophets is like the offspring of prophets which is created from the pure beings. That is to say, the real thing is their teachings, their spiritual knowledge and the spiritual light which then disperses and disseminates on to their followers. This is the essence. He then continues, those who attain a new life from the spiritual light and knowledge, in fact, obtain a new birth. It is those who are known as the progeny, the Ali Muhammad of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, if every Ahmadi, if every Muslim acts upon the teachings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, takes benefit from the blessings and light of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and truly acts upon his teachings, he then becomes a part of Ali Muhammad, the spiritual progeny. Thus, this is that real method which is necessary for every Muslim to tread upon. He should recognize the status of every saint and respect them. They should end all mutual discord, conflict and murder. It is not unlikely that all this murder, mayhem, bloodshed and disorder, in which Muslims are murdering other Muslims, that the anti-Islamic forces have a hand in it. They bring about divisions amongst the Muslims. By spending money, they bring about strife. Or they become involved themselves and create all this disorder. Now, in the attacks on the Shias or upon the mosques, there is a hand of those organizations which the government have declared terrorists. And regarding the terrorists, it is the report of the governments, including in Pakistan, that there are some people who are not even Muslims. In fact, they have come from outside to create disorder. May Allah the Almighty have mercy upon the Muslims, and may He grant them the ability to become one. I would also like to say to Ahmadis, other Muslim sects take revenge upon one another. When one attacks, the other takes revenge and also attacks. However, after coming into the fold of allegiance of the Promised Messiah and whom be peace, despite all cruelties perpetrated by the sects who have united against us, the thought should never even emerge in our minds of taking revenge. Indeed, if there is a need of anything, it is that every single one amongst us, after any cruelty perpetrated against us, should progress in piety and righteousness, and to a greater extent to before, we should establish our relationship with God the Almighty, and we should become engaged in prayers. Hadrat Imam Hussein, may Allah be pleased with him, established the practical model of sacrifice. That is a guidance for us. Hadrat Musleh Hamaud, the second Khalifa, may Allah be pleased with him, keeping this point in view, said in one of his verses of poetry, advising the Jamaat, that they make you into Hussein and become Yazid like himself. What an easy bargain. Let the enemy fire its arrows. Thus, Hadrat Imam Hussein, may Allah be pleased with him, regarding whom the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states that he is amongst the leaders of paradise. He gave us the lesson of patience and steadfastness and showed us the path to paradise. During these days, in the month of Muharram in particular, pray on the one hand for your steadfastness and patience. Also pray to be saved from the evil of the enemy. Pray profusely. رَبِّ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ خَادُمُكَ رَبِّ فَافَزْنِي وَانْصُرْنِي وَارْحَمْنِي. I also mentioned previously that there is a great need to pray this prayer abundantly to be saved, guarded. Also pray, اللهم إنا نجعلك في نهورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم most profusely. I said last Friday to recite Durood Sharif, and I have said this many times previously also, that give great heed towards reciting Durood Sharif. May Allah the Almighty keep every Ahmadi under His protection. May all the plans and schemes that the enemies are concocting against us, may Allah the Almighty especially help us in this regard. While showing mercy to us, may Allah the Almighty safeguard every member of the Jamaat and the Jamaat as a whole from their evil ways. May Allah the Almighty rebound every scheme and evil plan that they are hatching against the Jamaat upon them. May we be included amongst the true Al, spiritual progeny of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. As the promised Messiah ﷺ stated, the true status is of the spiritual progeny. If the fact that one is a physical progeny is all that remains, then that is just an honor. If one is amongst the physical progeny, but does not attain the rank of spiritual progeny, then he can never benefit from those blessings and bounties which are associated with the Holy Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and which Allah the Almighty has promised to give. Thus, there is a need to always scrutinize and analyze our own selves. Whenever you recite Durood Sharif, you should assess that to what extent are you trying to benefit from reciting this Durood Sharif and actually striving to implement the teachings brought by the Holy Prophet Muhammad ﷺ? To what extent, after coming into the covenant of allegiance of the Imam of the time, are you making efforts to accept the authority of the Holy Quran upon you? May this remembrance of the status of the saints and the severity and oppression of the opponents of the Jamaat against us, and that some governments play a part in this persecution against us, may all of this grant us greater nearness to God than before. May our sacrifices bring righteous-minded people into the fold of Ahmadiyyat. May we witness the triumphant scenes of the victory of Ahmadiyyat, that is, the true Islam. Also pray most profusely as a result of whatever Israel is perpetrating against the Palestinians, as I have mentioned before. Pray that Allah the Almighty safeguards innocent lives from all types of injustice and tyranny. Israel is releasing statements that we cannot remain in a state of fear. This is why we have attacked the Palestinians. Whereas they themselves first attacked, killed the Palestinians. When they responded, then they said that they are creating fear for us. This is a most strange form of bullying and method that the world is adopting. And this is only for the reason that, as I said, because the Muslims have no identity. May Allah the Almighty bestow His mercy. May He have mercy upon the innocent Palestinians and safeguard them from all types of cruelty and injustice.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.